We're recording now.
Okay. Today we have a presentation on working step 8. I will turn the time over to Sarah for the presentation.
Thank you. How's the microphone? Can you hear me very well, or do I need to adjust?
Sounds good.
Sounds good? Okay. Well, hello everyone. Step 8, I'll remind us, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends for them all. Once again, I'm sitting here thinking, what a great opportunity for me. I do want to acknowledge that I still get nervous. I still have to rely on my higher power to show up and be vulnerable. And I always want to put that out there because for me, it's owning my recovery. So I'm kind of laughing at what's been going on with me only because of what I've shared recently about how my higher power has been working with me. So Claudia said to me yesterday, well, actually we were texting, do you want to share on step 8? And I was very hesitant, said, not this week. So she said, okay. And so we were making, discussing. And then at some point later, I realized, I didn't realize. Higher power said to me, the way he talks to me, is, well, what do you think we've been working on all the last couple weeks? I said, well, step 8 and 9, and goes, get in there and tell Claudia you're going to share. So I texted Claudia, and so since then I've had to kind of swallow a little bit of my resistance and pride and thinking I have nothing to share. So I've been kind of laughing at myself and in how I sometimes don't want to really own up to what's been going on with me. So having said that, I've been working on step 8 and 9 for a while. And I was in the midst of working on 8 and 9 when I went back and started working 6 and 7 as we were doing it as a group. So now I'm back to 8 and 9, and of course, what happens? A lot of stuff surfaces. So I had my list made, that's why I was on 9, but I had been stumped on the harms themselves. In other words, I kind of knew in my gut that my harms were my ex-husband, my father, my older brother, my mother, my other brother. I had some friends on there, and me. So that was the majority of my list of harms that I had made thus far. But I hadn't really articulated what the harms were, and I was a bit stumped. So the other thing that I knew that was a big part of my inventory, personal inventory, and my resentment list has to do with some of the religious harms that have been accumulating over the years. Different ministers and religious situations both involved with me and different people in my family. So what happened here a few weeks ago is my older brother, and his family were involved in a religious cult for over a dozen years. And so I didn't see my brother David or his children for 11 years. And I had a lot of anger and resentment and build up over that, not really completely been resolved. Well, what surfaced is the cult leader, there was a warrant issued for his arrest, and it got national attention, and so this became an issue at our home. And all this old stuff surfaced and the point where I needed to deal with it. Well, from that, it really was less, even though I had anger at this cult leader, that I had actually unresolved anger at my brother. So anger has been one of my difficulties in the sense that for my own anger, it it's been difficult for me to express. It became clear that I needed to make a list. In fact, I was assigned in therapy to write out a list of anger that I had with my brother. And it was a very challenging exercise for me. But I did it. And from that, I started realizing I had resentments and unforgiveness about the church abuse for myself or my brother. I had a lot of resentment to this cult leader, for sure, as well as my brother. So when I started seeing how much anger that I had, and it wasn't rage. I don't have this, and that's why the intensity of it was going unchecked. Because I'm experiencing so much joy and restoration with my brother that's where I like to stay. But underneath the surface is this unresolved stuff. And and because I want healthy relationships, I want the best. You know what I mean? So anger is one of those things that can kind of come out sideways. And I should probably throw out that he lives in Minnesota, but he was visiting here. So this is all going on in the last couple of weeks while he's visiting. So I'm making this anger list, and I'm dealing with it, and I'm seeing the potential here for some amends. In fact, I almost wrote out my amends while he was here. So now you catch up here, so I'm making my little list here of harms. Then I shared with my mother this task of this anger list, and my mother's reaction was even more revealing, which was, oh, Sarah, can't you just put this resentment and forgive your brother and just put it all aside? And that reaction sparked even a greater source of anger in me, because I started to see where this lack not being comfortable with my anger was coming from. And then so I started to write on that and reflect on that of, oh, wait a minute. Why is it not okay for me to have my own anger? Why does it have to be couched in all this unforgiveness? Not that there isn't some unforgiveness there, but this dismissal of it. So then I started pressing in on this issue of my own anger. So it started exposing other issues with my younger brother, for instance, because once I started thinking about anger in my home, I was like, okay, my younger brother, when he got angry. I mean, if he felt angry, he got angry, kind of had a little hissy fit, but not huge. And then he'd go away, and then he'd come back, and I would be okay. And I asked my mother about that. I said, I don't remember doing much of that. She said, no, you really didn't. But when you did get angry, you were just off the chart. So that starts surfacing. I had a little bit of resentment about my younger brother being able to get through things. I had resentment about my mother having this sort of duality of unfairness or inequality in how she was treating us. Also, she was representing herself as this was during the women's lib kind of time, and so be strong, be independent, but oh no, take it in the short, et cetera. So now I've got exposed issues with my younger brother, my mother, and my dad's anger, because he had so much anger that the rest of us couldn't feel comfortable being angry. So now I'm seeing all these resentments and these family members start to have. So I knew there were harms. Now I'm starting to see how they, can apply. So in other words, all this work around my anger had some meaning suddenly to me, and I started to see the gift in what was really happening here. Because, okay, all right, I'm seeing this in my family of origin. I'm seeing the anger. I'm feeling it a bit. So where's the harm here? Well, first off, I did see harm that was done to me as a little girl because I was powerless over what I was witnessing and seeing, and as a young child, you don't have the skills to know how to express your needs. You don't know how to get clarity in what was going on. So I was able to add that to my own harm list, but also then I saw from that place, that hurting place, the wounded Sarah, and how I held on to that pain, even though it was unintentional, even though I didn't have any understanding about it, but from that place, how resentment and unforgiveness just sort of settled in. And I have done my best in my life to let go and say, as I've seen them. But this particular exercise, and I think how higher power has been exposing this in the last couple of weeks, it's more of a subtle thing. So anyway, so now I've added to my list my mother, my younger brother, my mother, and my father, and then the specific harms that I'm seeing that I can ask for amends for. So what I started to see too, and what is worth noting, is how the steps continue to feel. That was the other thing that started to click for me, is that, so even though we're on steps 8 and 9, you can see how personal inventory is coming into play here. Even though I'd done this, it's sort of like it brings a richness or a depth to the work I've already done. Then how this issue of anger and resentment for me goes into step 7 when I ask for the shortcoming to be lifted. So it's not even that the anger itself I see as the shortcoming, but the fear of expressing the anger, if that makes sense. In other words, I was held up in, if I do this, then I'm not lovable. If I express my anger, then I'm going to be rejected. And so when I'm in that place, okay, then I put myself in a less than. Then I'm not being authentic. I'm not coming forth in a complete healthy place because I'm holding back. And you know, I'm relating in terms of fear. So in other words, if this is what's gotten exposed in me, is that if I have anger and I withhold it or I'm afraid to express it, then that's the fear that will guide me, which is then holding on to a lie. Well, a lie is harmful to me, harmful to others, the right here of the harm. And then even if I have a legitimate and understandable reason to have anger, I have to learn to express that, okay? Because if I suppress it, then that's when I go into denial. Denial is a form of lying and dishonesty, which in my world leads to wanting to medicate. And medicate is using compulsive behaviors. That's when I'm going to default to my eating, smoking, spending, fantasy, love addiction, putting someone into, you know, all the unhealthy stuff. And, of course, all of that leads to unhealthy relationships. So what I've come to believe with my whole heart in this process is that I want more. I deserve more, and I am more by God because I give more. I've come to see this spiritual waking that's talked about in step 12 actually happening in my life. And with that, I have such huge amounts of joy, even in the midst of the last few weeks. This has not been easy for me to go through this anger exercise. But as I share my experience, strength, and hope, and as I see myself taking steps to love myself, to love my higher power, to receive that love, and to love you, I believe I'm showing to you that you work it because you're worth it. That's what, Claudia, that's all I got.
That is excellent. Thanks, Sarah. Woo-hoo.
Hey, Houston?
You got all your amends done?
Do we have our amends done? I don't think so. I've got my list.
All right. How are you doing on step 8?
I'd like to share something with you, Claudia.
Sure. You want it recorded?
This is Maria. And so,
Maria, do you want it recorded? I can
sure,
turn the recording off.
I don't mind.
Okay.
And I'll put the disclosure right out there that I talked to you earlier this week. Monday night I called you and we talked about my difficulty with my amends. And I had made my list. And lo and behold, Monday night I had gotten an email from a girlfriend who had wanted to get together with two other moms that I knew from my daughter's high school. All of our kids had graduated the same year. And one of the ladies that was going to get together with was not on my list, and I realized I needed to make an amends to her, so I put her on my list. And we had dinner Wednesday night. That was just last night, didn't we? And I made my amends to her. And it was quick and simple, and she was so forgiving and said to me, Maria, that happened years ago. I don't even think about that anymore. But anyway, so I just wanted to share with you that having that difficulty, God stuck somebody right there Monday night that I recognized, and I saw her Wednesday night.
Wow.
And I think
fabulous.
That was God's work. That was God's work to give me something to work on that I knew I had done wrong and easy to admit, and she was very forgiving and had let go of it long before I had let go of it.
Congratulations.
So that's all I have to share at this point, Claudia. I can't say that all of them will be that nice, but that first one was. So thank you for your support.
Thanks. Hold on just a second.